Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For years, Rochester as a community did not get enough credit for this.
Oh.
Now, we're getting too much credit. Because it seems with all of the colleges and universities we have in Monroe County, this would be a great place to spend 4 years of your youth. But you will not believe where Rochester fell on a list that was released yesterday.
Wow.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5. WCMF will jump right into it. Rochester, New York is one of the best college towns in America.
Wow. What?
Story in the DNC talked about a study done by a group named Thrillist. And Rochester ranked as the 15th best college town in the U.S.
Is that because of how many colleges we have per capita?
Oh, no. It has to do with the environment living here as a college kid. We'll get there. But I want to point out how shocking this is. Yeah. I mean, just that number is shocking. Not only is 15 surprising, Rochester was ranked higher than State College, Pennsylvania, home of Penn State.
Yeah.
Rochester was ranked higher than Tallahassee, Florida.
Wow.
Home of Florida State. Mm-hmm. We ranked higher than the homes of both Arizona and Arizona State, home to colleges that kids love to go to.
Party schools, yeah.
And we have plenty of colleges between NAS and Fisher and RIT and U of R and MCC, but it's not just the quality of schools that are a draw, Kimmy. So
what's the push?
The environment here. So before we get into what they say draws kids to Rochester and what makes it such a great college town, I'm looking, based on the looks on your faces, neither of you believe Rochester is a great college.
Well, it's funny because actually my husband and I were just talking about this, how we feel bad for kids who go to places like Fisher and NAS because there's not like one central area where college kids live.
Okay.
Like I know some of them will live in like rental properties in like random neighborhoods. They used to, a lot of them live on Park Ave, but I don't know how many of them can afford that, like those apartments right now. So I feel like there's not like a central college town atmosphere, whereas you get that in a lot of those other small towns
where
that
you went to school.
Right, like a lot of those towns that you mentioned, they're built around the university, whereas this is, I don't get a college type atmosphere
like
from Rochester.
Even Syracuse, right?
Yeah, the whole town is the college.
Right.
Yeah. But okay, I will say this. Henrietta, I mean, because you have different, it's not just one college that's pushing the whole community like Morgantown where you went to school Syracuse.
Right.
So like Henrietta has a community around it now where the kids all live. There's multiple different apartment complexes now where the kids, it's become like central location. Some of them, like even at 38 years old, I drive by, I'm like, man, I want to live there. It's awesome. I want to hang
Well, they're having fun.
I want to hang a flag out my window. Go Bills. You don't think Rochester's a college town?
I never would think of it that way. Even though, we have a lot of colleges, but to your point, like, what makes it so great here?
You go to, like, Brockport, and that's a whole different...
Oh, I forgot about Brockport. I didn't even name Brockport.
Well, does that count in this? Because I would think, Brockport, definitely a college town, for sure. That is a totally different experience than what you're getting going to, like, schools more downtown area of Rochester.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe we use NAS, Fisher, RIT, U of R, and MCC on their own. All right, with that being said, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. The reasons they give in this article for Rochester being such a great college town.
What are they saying?
The first one's insulting. The garbage plate.
Oh, like college food. Okay, we do have a lot of great you know, late night food options.
No, but like they lead as that being the number one reason why kids would want to go to school here. Like, look, I get it's a great college kid food, but you're not going to pick a college based on greasy spoon food.
And have you ever been there late night and seen a bunch of college kids?
Back in the day,
I used to.
I remember seeing like a lot of younger adults. I guess I didn't realize they were college kids.
You're too old to go out late enough when the college kids.
But Tahoe used to be a big.
No, but I'm saying even when I was of that age, I don't remember it being like a post college party.
Oh, really? You don't remember the guys hanging out in their Letterman's jackets? Something.
No.
But after the garbage plate, the article says that the neighborhood of play built up around the Strong Museum is a massive draw. The Video Game Hall of Fame inside the Strong Museum is a massive draw. They mention the concentration of breweries per capita that we have in the greater Rochester area, as well as the proximity to Letchworth, which I hear, Tommy, is the Grand Canyon of the
is
East.
That okay. What college kids are looking for?
But I mean, look, when you think about it and stand back.
Earth crack.
Look, when you put it like that, that's college stuff. College
I can't
stuff.
Think of a college bar.
Yeah.
Like all those places you mentioned sound like places where I'm going to walk those brew pubs. I'm going to see a bunch of me's, not a bunch of college kids.
Right.
Maybe
Is there a college bars?
Maybe the idea of the college bar has changed because you never went to college. I went for 14 days. Kimmy's the closest we have to a college graduate, but she also makes the least
amount of
money.
But when we used to go to those small towns that had major colleges, like Indiana, like...
That's
Illinois,
the nightlife was college. Yeah.
We were college bars.
Sure, yeah.
That were only there because of the college. I can't think of anything around here that exists that I would call a college bar.
I get what you're saying, but then again, I mean.
Like Syracuse had them.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are legendary
bars.
Like
varsity bars. Yeah, but with all the history of the college just hanging on the wall.
It's also easy to have those legendary bars when you have like a Division I sports program.
True.
Right? I mean, I don't know. Like, there's that McGregor's that's on the corner of Jefferson Road that's right there from RIT.
I would just think the fact that Rochester isn't very walkable takes away some of that college atmosphere.
But again, around the colleges, U of R is a very walkable campus. In fact,
the campus, but I'm talking about like if you wanted to walk to school, right? Like if you just wanted to simply live near the school and walk to school, there's not a lot of options for that.
Ah, but then you look at that college town that they built on Mount Hope, right? Yeah. There's a lot of apartments there for kids that go to school.
Those are expensive.
I understand. Also, look at who goes to U of R.
Right. I think all that plays into my confusion, I guess, about the...
So there was a bar on Baird Road called Moe's.
Okay.
And Mo ran, like, he would do Naz Night, Fisher Night, and they had a shuttle that they ran, like, back and forth, like, back in the day. So back in the day, there was that college, like, bar drinking atmosphere. But they don't do that anymore.
I mean,
for many reasons.
Are we sure? We're pretty out of the game.
We would probably see it advertised somewhere because it was literally advertised.
From all that stuff that we read about from the college kids.
But we used to advertise.
Bro, you're searching for Japanese socks on Instagram. Where would you have seen college
I don't hear it on the rock calendar anymore. I haven't heard Raj in forever.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Rochester, New York was named the 15th best college town in America. In America, better than State College, where Penn State is. Better than Tallahassee, where Florida State is. For whatever reason, this list likes Rochester. And what may make Rochester unique...
What's that?
Compared to other cities on this list. Mm. It's one of the few places you can go to college, stay after you're done, and have a real career.
Oh.
And what I mean by that, Ann Arbor, Michigan is ranked as the number one college town in America. Mm-hmm. It's the home of University of Michigan. Yeah. If you stay in Ann Arbor, you're probably working for academia, for the college in academia, which is great, but it limits your option. Same for State College, Oxford, Mississippi, Tallahassee. Like you said, those towns are exclusively college towns. Kimmy, if you stayed in Morgantown after you graduated, either you're working for the school or you've made a terrible mistake.
Yeah, I would say like most of those jobs in that town revolve around the school. I mean, like maybe you go to like a city nearby, like Pittsburgh or something. But yeah, most people, their goal isn't to stay there.
But here in Rochester, you can put whatever your degree is to use in the workforce outside of the college you went to. You can buy a home. Also, to Kimmy's point, if you stay here, you don't have to worry about being surrounded by college kids all the time, like you would maybe in parts of Syracuse, in Bloomington, Indiana, in Tallahassee, Florida. And when you go downtown, the bars are not overrun with undergrads like in Syracuse or the University of Buffalo. Like, Rochester is a community that kind of hides its college students. You don't really notice them.
Right.
They're there. You just don't see them.
They're quiet.
Yeah.
Quiet child.
Well, we also have a lot of smart kid colleges, so maybe they are quiet.
It is. I wonder then why Buffalo doesn't have a similar reputation, because they're They're kind of the same in the fact that there's a lot of schools within a smaller area. And I don't think of it so much as a college town, they are there.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Buffalo didn't show up on the list.
Ooh.
Take that. Yeah. But I mean,
I wish there were numbers that showed like how many of the kids that go to school here in Rochester, like how many of them actually stay for that. Is it easy to get a job depending on what you do?
252 WCMF 252-9263. I know you folks are listening. You're not from here. You came to school here. You decided to stay, right? Like, I mean, how many people got a job? Like Kimmy said, maybe you fell in love with the area. Maybe you fell in love with someone from the area and decided this is where you were settling down. Does that make us a good college town?
Did you stick around? Okay.
Right? I mean, if you come here and you like the community enough where you're going to stay, does that make you a good town?
Well, obviously it does because you stayed.
But is it the same as being a good college town? Because you fell in love with it while you were in college. It makes me feel like it's a good real life town, not a good college town.
Yeah.
Like, I think Geneseo.
Well, you got options. That's basically what you're saying. You got options when it's you get out of college here.
It's not like an overwhelmingly big city, to your point.
But it's big enough where
you can find something.
Yeah, and there's options.
And afford to live.
Yeah.
You can live in the same place you lived when you were going to school.
Yeah, you don't even have to move out of your apartment. Same effing place. I don't know, man. Like, Cortland's a college town. Geneseo's a college town.
But those are isolated towns.
But that's what I think of when I hear college town. Mm. Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Syracuse is a weird one.
Well, so is Tallahassee. It's the state capital.
No, I mean, understand.
It's a city.
But you've been through Tallahassee. You drive through Tallahassee. You see, everything is Florida State.
Yeah.
Everything is Florida State. Just like Syracuse, although it's a big city, I mean, big city relative to other college towns, everything is Syracuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, most of those southern colleges own those towns, even the big cities, you know?
Yeah. Which is also makes this unique because, I mean, I know RIT has Division I men's and women's hockey, which is awesome if you're a hockey fan, right? But there isn't a major sports program outside of that for any of these colleges, right? So it's not even like you're walking around with, unless you were an alum of that school.
Seeing the flags everywhere.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, when's the last time you saw like a U of R Meloria flag or an RIT Tigers flag?
Or are they just out there and we just don't notice because it's... Because there are so many people that... But to your point, it's not one central college. You're getting a mix of a bunch of different ones.
I forget that Naz and Fisher are in this town sometimes.
Seriously. I forget I live next to them.
Right? You live right next to Naz.
You don't hear them.
You don't hear them.
You don't. You don't see people wearing like Naz t-shirts that are like a long...
There's no flags, nothing.
Like, my wife did a residency at the U of R. She's an alum of the U of R.
No flag.
No flag.
Damn it.
We got no flag.
All that money and no flag?
Well, is it, I wonder, too, especially with the U of R, how many local kids go to the U of R if it's a lot of people not from here?
So you're saying they're leaving?
Yeah, so they're going back home.
Probably a lot of foreign kids, too, right?
Wherever.
You are so on this Asian businessman kick today.
Well, don't you have like a lot of kids from Asia?
Yes, there are a ton of kids from Asia that come to the U of R.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories of all time, and I'm going to share it again with you. When I was on 98PXY earlier in my career, we had an intern. His name was Javier. And he was a first-generation American. He was from Texas. He lived in a border town in Texas. And he was the first person in his family to go to college. The kid was brilliant. He was going to the U of R, and really nice kid. And
was he Asian?
Javier, who lives on a border town.
Oh, Javier. Okay, so he was...
Hold on, I just want to back up.
So he's Mexican-American.
He lived on a border town...
How?
In Texas, named Javier, and you asked me if he was Asian.
I forgot the
there
Javier
There are boats
part.
On TV right now. He was distracted there for a little while.
The reason I bring this up is Javier was broke. Mm-hmm. He had no money. He didn't know what he was doing. It's the first time he's away from home. So one morning, you know, we get here really early. I'm outside, and Javier pulls up. And I don't remember what the name of the car was.
Nice car?
It was a $300,000 car.
Like a McLaren?
It was like something I'd never seen
before.
Sports
car.
Yes. Yeah. And my first thought was...
Right? Javier hit.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Javier stole somebody's car. Because the kid didn't have a car.
It didn't add up.
It turns out that he had made friends with a couple of kids that had come from Asia. And one of their fathers was a billionaire.
Okay.
And they went to New York City. This kid went to New York City to buy a car to have in America. Mm-hmm. He took Javier with him.
Javier driving it?
Here's why. Javier had a driver's license. This kid did not have the ability, the Asian kid, to get an American driver's license yet, but he wanted the car. Oh. So he told Javier that
drive me around. Yes.
Who's a chauffeur?
You can drive my car anytime you want, but if I need a ride somewhere, you got to take me.
Wow.
And Javier got
that's
to
drive. Deal.
He would park that car on the street down here.
Ooh. I don't even remember.
It was insane. You don't?
No.
It was nuts.
No kidding.
Nuts. And yeah, he somehow became friends with these kids, and he was going like...
Smart move there, bro.
Nuts. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they're all going back to...
Or moving on to other places.
Yeah, Asia with their Meloria flags and t-shirts and things.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We may have an issue, people.
What happened?
Well, someone in this room years ago cracked the code for business success in the greater Rochester area. Kimmy, if you want to make a Rochester business successful...
Put a brewery in it.
That's right. You put a brewery in it, it's cash all over the place. Yeah. And it worked over and over and over again to the point where you can't swing a dead cat without hitting an IPA. But something's happening in Henrietta.
Uh-oh.
And this could be the case of a town that for some reason is cursed.
Oh.
This could be someone who maybe decided, now is not the time.
So it's tanking on the Jeff.
Or this could be the end of the unlimited Rochester brewery dream.
Mm.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Speaking of breweries, well, our live stream is up and running.
Oh, boy.
Get on the Odyssey app, WCMF.com, YouTube or Twitch, The Break Room, WCMF on YouTube or Twitch. You can check out Tommy's sophisticated outfit today.
My shaka.
Shaka. I thought you were trying to say chocolat, because it is a chocolat color.
Oh, is it very chocolat?
It's like chocolat. A light chocolat. You look like the drunken professor that lost his job and hasn't combed his hair in days, like in Boston somewhere. All of that brought to you by our good friends at Three Heads Brewing. Three Heads Brewing, home of several drunken professors. Mm. About a year ago, we got some exciting news out of Henrietta.
For
the first time in decades, they were getting a brewery.
Oh.
Yeah, it seemed to be a brewery desert there for a little while.
It was for a very long time. And for whatever reason, of all the places to eat and drink, a brewery just never happened.
Yeah.
But that was going to change with Smug Town Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
It was coming to East Henrietta Road and that plaza over there with the DMV. Well... Story on News 8 yesterday.
What happened?
The owner, who apparently had been working for years to get this place open, has put the business, and I quote, on pause.
So it hasn't even opened.
Oh, it's not going to open, at least at the location it's in. They had a sign up, like Future Home of Smugtown Brewery. That building is now being taken over by another business, which is a ninja gym, which is also kind of funny.
I know.
Go for
those are popping up everywhere. Maybe that's the business plan.
Put a ninja gym in it. Although this man who wants to open Smugtown Brewery says one day he still has the dream of making this work, just maybe not anytime soon.
No.
Tommy?
Yeah.
Have we reached peak rock brewery saturation?
I don't think so, especially there. There's nothing there to compete with it. Like, I can see if you said it where there's a ton of them, like Fairport.
Okay.
But this seems it should have worked.
Has so there been something else? Like, did something, is there another brewery nearby that went in the meantime?
I know there are people. Oh, no, in Henrietta, no, there's still nothing. There's still,
that area doesn't really have anything.
Right.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, I don't even remember, there was a brewery in Henrietta up until I believe the early 90s. But from that moment, like once we hit like the big brewery boom, or the triple B as we like to call it, there hasn't been anything in Henrietta, right? So you're saying this doesn't mean we're shot.
It sounds like it's more on the owner. than the actual breweries.
So here's what's strange about this. The owner has a ton of experience in this realm. He's worked for other places. He's like well regarded in the beer brewery community.
What went wrong?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Was it also supposed to be a restaurant too?
Maybe.
Maybe that could be throwing a wrench into things, because that is a whole other, you know, animal to deal with.
But it never even opened.
No.
Right.
Like, I can see if he opened it, a tank, it never even got to that.
Yes.
I mean, is it even like, is there stuff inside?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how far it actually got.
Well, now there's ninja stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Nunchucks.
Be careful around them tanks.
So you are not convinced that we're at the end of the brewery right now?
I mean, we got to be getting close, I would think. Like, how many can you support?
I mean, we're going to find out, because they keep opening up. So maybe if it's not that we're at the end of the brewery rainbow, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, does Henrietta just not want a brewery?
How do you not want beer?
And it doesn't make any sense with what we just talked about.
You sound like your Italian father-in-law from
Megan.
How
want the beer?
How you not want beer? You want beer? How you not want beer? Hey, you not want beer?
Drink.
With all the college kids we just talked about in that area, you would just think that there would be a big... you know, following in that spot.
Like the only place I could think of, I don't even know if it's still there, the Red Creek used to be down there.
Red Creek is now a McGregor's.
All right, so you do have one brewery house down there.
I don't know if McGregor's is a brewery. I think it's just a bar.
I mean, they got a jillion taps probably.
Yeah, sure.
But you only got that one, and that's at the end of the Jeff.
Oh, there are bars.
Yeah.
There are bars,
but that's more of
Henrietta.
A, bars and restaurants.
You've got to go to that place for a beer.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I mean, they have like 150 taps in that joint.
No, but there's a difference between going to a bar that has a whole bunch of taps, which you're right, it's great scene out there at McGregor's, right? Oh, and there's a difference.
Brew pub,
I mean, for whatever reason, people seem to want to go to a place where the guy behind the bar is going to be able to give you, or woman behind the bar, is going to be able to give you all of the details of what you're putting in your mouth.
So all the pubs, the brew pubs we talk about, they seem to be on the east side. Are there a bunch on the west side?
There are some on the west side, too.
So let's talk about that. Are there brewery towns in the greater Rochester area, 252-WCMF, 252-9263? Because the city of Rochester has a ton of them, right? So Fairport, you brought up, east side.
Yes.
Webster, for whatever reason, is big
with
breweries, right? They're okay. You can make the arguments that Gates and Ogden kicked it off with Rohrbach's back in the day.
All right.
I forgot about Rohrbach's.
Yep. But
the original location there.
But any new ones?
So, like, the town of Greece. Does Greece have a brewery?
They do.
Where is it?
There's Wood Kettle Brewing. It's in North Greece.
Okay.
I know there are more, too. But for as big as Greece is, they don't have a lot, to
and
your
like
point.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Like, that's tailor-made for a brewery.
Pittsburgh does have them.
What is it?
So you've got Lock 32.
Oh, Lock 32. You're
and
right.
There's another one that's down where that cupcake...
Oh, Lock 28.
28?
Yeah.
So you got two, really.
Okay. All right. So wait, you're saying your argument is the west side lacks...
It's probably underserved.
For breweries. Hmm.
Yeah.
Are they underserved, or are they not going to work on the west side?
No, you just got to name them right.
Like what?
You know, like Busted Ale or the Brass Knuckle.
I thought you were come up with something.
There's already a bar called Knuckles on the west
side. Hey, dude, that's my mom. Ale.
I have a theory when it comes to Henrietta and Greece specifically. And again, 252-WCMF, we're talking about Smugtown Brewery. It was supposed to open in Henrietta, East Henrietta Road. Everyone was all excited about it. It was the first brewery in decades that was going to be opening in Henrietta. Word yesterday that the business is now on pause. The building was supposed to open. It's going to become a ninja gym. I do find it funny. I'm sorry. I can't get over it. Brewery or ninja gym?
Yeah.
What do you want? Because both are fun.
Sure.
For different reasons.
Yeah.
Henrietta has a ton of restaurants and bars.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Every chain.
Exactly. So does Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Ton of restaurants and bars. If you have had those places first, can breweries not survive?
Oh, maybe you're so loyal to those spots
to those
and like you've already established yourself.
Well, but like they're
too
not.
Too much neighborhood stuff.
But they're not neighbor. Like Applebee's, I know it says your neighborhood bar and grill, but it's not really a neighborhood thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Buffalo Wild Wings, fine place to, you know, have a beer, watch a game, whatever, Wingstop, whatever. But like it's not like a mom and pop place. What about towns with a ton of chains not
having breweries? I think maybe you just have so many options at your fingertips.
But
whereas, like, if you live out in, like, Ogden or Fairport, like, you're going to go to the local spots. And if those happen to be, you know, smaller businesses, breweries, like, that now becomes your spot. You don't have as many to choose from.
But there's such a difference between sitting down and having a beer at Three Heads and sitting down and having a beer at a TGI Fridays or a Red Robin. Am I wrong?
Okay.
Like I don't understand why, because it does seem like the towns with the most chain restaurants, you know, saturated, you know, one road don't have as many breweries as the other towns do.
Maybe it has something to do with like West Side, East Side.
What is your theory on East Side, West Side?
Well, East Side more into the craft beer, and but West Side's more into working man's beer.
Working man's beer. Oh, you're
that's your Jack Hole recreational kayak and weekend crowd with your Bitcoins.
Are you saying maybe
and your brew crew?
Shut up.
West Side more concerned about cost. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that stuff's not cheap.
Rohrbach's is the first craft brewery.
But I'm saying, like, if you have an option of going to all these other places, you may pick the more
affordable
option.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
Okay, I mean,
you don't host Foxy Boxing or nothing. Why am I going down to your place?
Would people go to Foxy Boxing anymore?
They would.
You think so?
Yeah.
I would,
very underserved in this market.
I would. Well, you know what happened after all the controversies with the belts, right?
Yeah. Yes.
She was ducking people. You fight the best. No, I don't know. Like, the fact that Rohrbach's was one of, if not the first ones, I think blows up your theory. And you see folks on the West Side going to these breweries all the time.
Yeah,
in fact,
they travel to go. I mean, there are some beer snobs on the West Side. I know many of them.
Once you go further west, you start to get to more breweries,
all right?
Right?
So like then you need to get. So somebody needs to get into the West Side market.
Why don't you do it then? You got
any money?
What are you talking about? Business sense? No, I know that. As you try and argue about why breweries don't open with business sense, here's why. Well, turns out I don't have any business sense.
I mean, people will, go out in the middle of nowhere to towns you've never been to go try some of this beer.
The entire town is a brewery. For example, my daughter was playing, had a tennis match last night at Marcus Whitman, which is past Canandaigua. For whatever reason, my maps took me home the back way, probably because of traffic on 3.
5 and 20?
Yeah. So, by the way, 5 and 20. Is there anywhere that place doesn't go?
No, it goes all over.
Literally everywhere.
Yeah.
They say all roads lead to Marketplace Mall, and then 5 and 20 is the place that gets you there. But I'm in the middle of nowhere. I drove past 3 different breweries in towns I didn't even know where I was.
All right.
And it's like the whole town is that brewery.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense that Gates or Grease or Chai Lai or Spencerport wouldn't be able to support these places.
People are tweeting us that between Brockport and Spencerport, there are a couple breweries.
Okay, and that blows up here. Brockport's a working man's town.
Oh, big time working man.
I mean, I heard Spencerport's the Pittsford of the West Side.
Yeah,
so
a little snooty.
Steve writes us on Twitter. Steve's all up in our craw. BJ's Restaurant and Brew House on Jefferson Road. He says that is a brewery. But is that local or is that a chain? Kimmy, can we investigate
restaurant?
That?
What is it?
It's in the old
Yes, I've heard of this.
It's not the old Wild Wings. They built it next near the Red Robin.
Oh, okay.
So it's in like the Home Depot Plaza.
All right.
In the parking lot. But is that a chain? It's a chain, right?
I think so. I'm not sure. Hold on.
Chain brewery?
Well, why not?
It just seems like unnecessary.
I think it's called Budweiser.
No, you idiot. They don't.
It's a chain brewery. It doesn't have a very local feel to it.
They ship the Budweiser after they brewed at a central spot.
No, but basically you're drinking a Budweiser because it's not like a local brew if it's a chain.
No,
that's my point.
No, what I'm saying is why would you bring all the equipment if you're a national chain to like brew the
beer
in-house?
Maybe they don't. They just ship it in and maybe the tanks are empty, man. You get jived. You know, like when North Korea likes to show you all their missiles, but they're a bunch of hollowed out tubes.
Right, we're saying a lot of stuff about a place that no one in this room has ever been to.
What's that?
You've never been to a BJ's?
Yeah, it was the other night.
Yeah.
Had a nice brew. Had an IPA.
I have yet to go to this place. And Kimmy, you and your husband haven't gone.
No, I haven't been.
He's missed. If they won't sell you a hat with 5 panels inside the brewery, Kimmy's husband won't go.
I don't know if
check it out. It's got like a fish and a deer on it. Check it out, man. It's pretty cool. Is it local? Okay, we're going to be here forever. Right.
I know. Well, there's just so many places with the same name that I can't tell if it's the same chain or just another place with that name.
Google, where can I get BJ's in Henrietta?
I'm not going to do that.
Tell what you got to see.
Yeah, that was the joke, stupid. Wait a minute. I don't even think they're actually giving BJ's, man. Look, whatever the answer is with this Smugtown Brewing going on pause, not opening in Henrietta.
Great name, too.
I know. I know you love the Smugtown name.
Yeah.
We're going to find out over the next year or so if we have reached peak brewery capacity.
All right.
Right? Like, if we see local brewers start closing their doors with no other breweries taking them over, because we have seen places close, but then, like, immediately other breweries are like, I want it, and they take it, and they open it up for themselves. I mean, that hasn't happened yet, and we're on, like, a 15-year craft brewery boom.
Yeah.
Right? It's been that long, Kimmy? About 15 years?
Yeah, probably. Sounds about right.
And some of these little places have become household names, right? Like, every one of these little spots that opens up seems to open up to, like, massive fanfare from the people that go. So, come on, keep chugging along. You chug, so it keeps chugging. unless it's an IPA.
The chug economy.
Yes, exactly.
Because people can lie about those things.
This is true.
I mean, maybe not the abs. Well, actually, you could Photoshop that if you really were motivated.
Yeah, but like if I...
But in real life, you're going to be very disappointing.
But if in the first 5 minutes of the day, I go, let me see your abs. No, that's a red flag.
Like those qualifications, you would have to go out and see somebody in person and talk to them in person.
But you also wouldn't know what they made.
That you could lie about, but I would think eventually you'd get exposed. Like, you'd only lie so long about that.
Do you be surprised how long you can lie about how much money you have? Okay, fair.
Okay, but like to say you're looking for a guy that also has means, mm-hmm. right? And is tall and is
good looking.
You have to think like, oh, I can attract that guy.
Yeah.
Because you also have to be, have to bring something to the table.
Sure. Yeah.
Because like, that dude's
like, yeah, he has to be interested as equally.
That dude could get any chick he wants. The guy you're describing,
6 foot, six figure, six pack abs.
Yeah. He could go out anywhere and get laid and get a bunch of women following him around, right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
You're a movie star. So he doesn't need you.
And that's what's so interesting about what's happening here.
Yeah.
We may be at a turning point in American history. Oh. Today is the day that single ladies in America have become as ridiculous as single men have been since the beginning of time.
Well, they're becoming shallow. That's a completely shallow look at people.
Yeah, because that's all physical.
Well, no, the finances aren't.
Right, but I'm saying
it's all bling.
Yeah.
Tall, rich, good looking. That's
all
bling.
Something you can see.
That's arm candy.
Now, look, I don't disagree with you that it's shallow. It goes past shallow, I think, because shallow is...
Well, otherwise, you go shallow, you just hit the bottom.
Well, that's what the problem is here. We have hit rock bottom. Because shallow is, I would like to have a guy that looks really good, mm-hmm. right? But maybe I can't accomplish that. The idea that you could attain, the average woman could attain a 6 foot tall, six figure making, six pack ab having man.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
You want Brad Pitt.
Exactly. And here's the thing. For the longest time, Tommy, you'd see trolls of dudes. Mm. Dudes that look, they're just gross, right? That expected to meet tall, gorgeous women.
You wanted a centerfold.
Yes, that were going to be at their beck and call. Mm. And like, there's wanting. But Tommy, we knew men who were just busted and gross and broke and stupid. And they would criticize good-looking women that weren't good enough for them.
Right.
Not that those men had chances with those women either, but they would, and then they'd bitch and they'd moan that they couldn't find this fantasy woman they were looking for.
Those standards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those were sad
yes, they were.
Men. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Now, why do you want to be like us? Why do you want to get them down to our level? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, but like the fact that you say that and realize you're doing it means that you could go above that level.
But why do you want? But why are you coming down to us?
No, but like again, if you understand what you're doing, it gives you the ability to examine what you're doing and change. So I don't think that's like the progressive thought you thought it was.
You know what I'm interested in? Because a lot of movies that were popular when I was like a kid/teenager growing up, it was like a nerdy girl gets like the high school jock, gets like the good looking guy.
But doesn't he turn into a vampire?
No, he's a vampire the whole time, man.
I didn't know.
It was never the other way around.
There was that movie with Jason Biggs.
So nerdy guy gets hot chick?
But he ends up with the nerdy girl.
Does he? I didn't see the movie.
Is that about nerds?
No. Revenge of the American Nerds. Pie? Is that
you literally
about?
Described
American Pie.
You literally described the plot of Revenge of the Nerds that came out of the 80s and had multiple sequels.
He ends up with a girl at band camp.
No, I know. But the Revenge of the Nerds, all the nerds got the hot chicks after sexual assault, which
but
when you look back on it is what that was.
But I guess that's before my time. Okay. I'm thinking of like movie, like rom-coms as a teenage girl that you watch growing up. Like the girl got a guy that was not, I guess, seen as like her
good
level.
Looking.
Okay.
So like,
I get what you're
like,
saying.
Are our minds warped by that and where these unrealistic expectations came from? Because like, there were never any like nerdy looking guys in those movies. Like maybe they need to start putting short, ugly men as the heroes in some of these rom-coms.
They tried it with Billy Crystal.
Yeah, but he's just not.
He got laid.
Were you talking about Sleepless in Seattle?
No, that's Tom Hanks.
Same difference. What's the difference?
Are you calling Tom Hanks ugly?
No, because I think Tom Hanks is brilliant, and you know how I feel about Billy Crystal. here and I'm doing my song. Now I'm over here and I'm doing this now. And da 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 da.
What's the name of that famous? You know where
when
she's
Harry
having
met
the
Sally.
Yes.
Now he was a good looking guy, and he got a good looking woman.
But again, that was I can't think of a movie.
50 years ago.
Yeah, I can't think of a movie where that was the case. Growing up,
where ugly guy. Well, no, every sitcom is a fat ugly dude with a smoking hot wife.
But that's a sitcom.
But it's different. No, different. I'm thinking of the movies you idolized as a kid.
All right, so you're
like,
saying
she's all that.
Okay, you're saying that like a Cinderella story with Hilary Duff. She's all that.
Yeah,
with...
like you had every guy that starred in those movies was a good looking dude,
handsome man.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying those movies for your
I'm just wondering
age group
if like you studied
your...
if you studied like what we thought was like romance growing up and like what we thought relationships were growing up. If that has any effect on us being shallow today.
Do you think you're more shallow than women that came before you? Says woman who married 6 foot man with abs.
Probably.
On a calendar.
Probably because I think women over time had more options, which would kind of make, could create more shallow people.
So you are shallow.
You meet more
options
people.
Options make shallow.
Tell me something, Kim.
Also, dating apps probably make people more shallow just in general.
Okay.
Because your whole goal is to find somebody you find is good looking.
So we're just sinking as a society.
Yeah, but we're raising it other ways.
Okay, all right.
A lot of breweries. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking about the 666 rule. It's something women have started to use to navigate through all the noise and gross dudes on dating apps. First six, he's got to be 6 feet tall. Second six, he must make at least six figures. Third six, he must have six-pack abs. What's funny is like when you really get down to brass tacks of how easy it would be to find a man like that, forget the fact that he would also have to be attracted to you. Let's put that aside. What percentage of men in America do you think fit the bill of being 6 foot tall, making six figures, and having six-pack abs?
To have all three.
Yes.
To hit the trifecta. It's got to be under 10%.
I bet. No, it's way under 10. Five?
But it would be under 10.
Well, no, it would be less than 5 because 5% would be about 7 to 8 million men. It could be 1%.
I also think we may be warped here. I think that there, it's funny, like, if you go to, like, a bigger city or other places, and I forget that people are taller in general
in
those
I understand.
Other places.
Look, there are guys that are 6 feet.
We're squatty town.
There are.
I think we are shorter in general here.
Well, we have a lot of ethnicities that don't get over the 5'7".
Right, that we're squatty
so, like,
town.
Somebody over 6 feet tall is going to stand out a lot more.
Sure. But look.
We don't have a lot of tallness.
As the tall delegate in this room, right, and
well,
I go to my
tall.
I go to my tall man meetings every day, but she's not allowed in the tall man meetings.
With those hands?
Look, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to New York City, there's plenty of dudes that are over 6 feet that make six figures. The hardest part of this is
not
the abs.
The Diamond District.
The hardest part is the abs.
The hardest part is the abs.
Yeah, that's fair.
Nobody.
I'm surprised the abs are a requirement, though.
And by the way, to maintain that physique through your life. So, let's say you're a ripped kid. By the time you're 45, you may not have that same body.
No,
you may
you're
be
right.
in good shape, but you may not look like somebody that's going to be on the cover of a magazine.
And that's what's so funny, right? Like, time eliminates men being able to do this because by the time you make six figures, you're right.
That's
you're going to be out of a point where your body can maintain six-pack abs if you were able to get them at all.
Right. If you're making six figures, you probably don't have time to be hitting the gym for 2 hours.
Well, no, then there's that argument.
Like running.
That people make the argument that folks that do make six figures are the ones that are motivated to go to their gym. Your body is a temple.
Okay. I doubt it.
I don't have that issue.
Yeah.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time. I want abs.
But it doesn't do anything for you.
No, I just want to know I can do it.
But you can't. You're going to waste your whole life doing crunches?
No, it's over. I know. I've
because people can lie about those things.
This is true.
I mean, maybe not the abs. Well, actually, you could Photoshop that if you really were motivated.
Yeah, but like if I...
In real life, you're going to be very disappointing.
But if in the first 5 minutes of the day, I go, let me see your abs. No, that's a red flag.
Like those qualifications, you would have to go out and see somebody in person. And
but
talk
also,
to them in person.
But you also wouldn't know what they made. If you,
okay,
you know
that you could lie about, but I would think eventually you'd get exposed. Like, you'd only lie so long about that.
Do you be surprised how long you can lie about how much money you have? That's
fair,
Okay, but like to say you're looking for a guy that also has means, right, and is tall, and is
good looking.
And you have to think like, oh, I can attract that guy.
Yeah.
Because you also have to be, you have to bring something to the table.
Sure, yeah.
Because that dude's...
Like, yeah, he has to be interested, as equally
that dude can get any chick he wants. The guy you're describing...
6 foot, six figures, six pack abs.
Yeah. He could go out anywhere and get laid and get a bunch of women following him around, right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
You're a movie star, so he doesn't need you.
And that's what's so interesting about what's happening here.
Yeah.
We may be at a turning point in American history. Oh. Today is the day that single ladies in America have become as ridiculous as single men have been since the beginning of time.
Well, they're becoming shallow. That's a that's a completely shallow look at people.
Yeah, because that's all physical.
Well, no, the finances aren't.
Right, but I'm saying
it's all bling.
Yeah.
Tall, rich, good looking. That's
all something you can see.
That's arm candy.
Now, look, I don't disagree with you that it's shallow. It goes past shallow, I think, because shallow is... Well,
otherwise, you go shallow, you just hit the bottom.
Well, that's what the problem is here. We have hit rock bottom. Because shallow is, I would like to have a guy that looks really good, right? But maybe I can't accomplish that. The idea that you could attain, the average woman could attain a 6 foot tall, six figure making, six pack ab having man.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
You want Brad Pitt.
Exactly. And here's the thing. For the longest time, Tommy, you'd see trolls of dudes. Dudes that look, they're just gross, right? That expected to meet tall, gorgeous women.
You wanted a centerfold.
Yes, that were going to be at their beck and call. And like, there's wanting. But Tommy, we knew men who were just busted and gross and broke and stupid. And they would criticize good-looking women that weren't good enough for them.
Right.
Not that those men had chances with those women either, but they would, and then they'd bitch and they'd moan that they couldn't find this fantasy woman they were looking for.
Those
and
standards.
Yes. Yeah. Those were sad, sad men. Ladies, welcome to the show.
And why do you want to be like us? Why do you want to get them down to our level? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, but like, the fact that you say that and realize you're doing it means that you could go above that level.
But why do you want, but why are you coming down to us?
No, but like again, if you understand what you're doing, it gives you the ability to examine what you're doing and change. So I don't think that's like the progressive thought you thought it was.
You know what I'm interested in? Because a lot of movies that were popular when I was like a kid slash teenager growing up, it was like a nerdy girl gets like the high school jock, gets like the good looking guy.
But doesn't he turn into a vampire?
No, he's a vampire the whole time, man.
I didn't know.
It was never the other way around.
Oh, yeah, no, there was that movie with Jason Biggs.
So nerdy guy gets hot chick?
But he ends up with the nerdy girl.
Does he? I didn't see the movie.
Is that about nerds?
No. Revenge of the American Nerds. Pie? Is that
you literally
about?
Described
American Pie.
You literally described the plot of Revenge of the Nerds that came out of the 80s and had multiple sequels.
He ends up with a girl at band camp.
No, I know, but the Revenge of the Nerds, all the nerds got the hot chicks after sexual assault, which when you look back on it is what that was.
But I guess that's before my time. Okay. I'm thinking of like movie, like rom-coms as a teenage girl that you watch growing up. Like the girl got a guy that was not, I guess, seen as like her
good
level.
Looking.
Okay.
So like,
oh,
are,
I get what you're
like,
saying.
Are our minds warped by that and where these unrealistic expectations came from? Because like, there were never any like nerdy looking guys in those movies. Like maybe they need to start putting short, ugly men as the heroes in some of these rom-coms.
They tried it with Billy Crystal.
Yeah, but he's just not.
He got laid.
Were you talking about Sleepless in Seattle?
No, that's Tom Hanks.
Same difference. What's the difference?
Are you calling Tom Hanks ugly?
No, because I think Tom Hanks is brilliant, and you know how I feel about Billy Crystal. here and I'm doing my song. Now I'm over here and I'm doing this now. And da 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 da.
What's the name of that famous? You know where
when
she's
Harry
having
met
the
Sally.
Yes.
Now he was a good looking guy, and he got a good looking woman.
But again, that was I can't think of a movie.
50 years ago.
Yeah, I can't think of a movie where that was the case.
Growing up, where ugly guy. Well, no, every sitcom is a fat ugly dude with a smoking hot wife.
But that's a sitcom.
But it's
yeah, different. No, different. I'm thinking of the movies you idolized as a kid.
All right, so you're
like,
saying
she's all that.
Okay, you're saying that like a Cinderella story with Hilary Duff. She's all that.
Yeah,
with...
like you had every guy that starred in those movies was a good looking dude,
handsome man.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying those movies for your age
I'm just wondering if like you studied
your...
if you studied like what we thought was like romance growing up and like what we thought relationships were growing up. If that has any effect on us being shallow today.
Do you think you're more shallow than women that came before you? Says woman who married 6 foot man with abs
probably,
on a calendar.
Probably because I think women over time had more options, which would kind of create more shallow people.
So you are shallow.
You meet more
options
people.
Options make shallow.
Tell me something, Kim.
Also, dating apps probably make people more shallow just in general.
Okay.
Because your whole goal is to find somebody you find is good looking.
So we're just sinking as a society.
Yeah,
is what we're doing.
We're raising it other ways.
Okay, all right.
A lot of breweries. 252 WCMF 252-9263. We're talking about the 666 rule. It's something women have started to use to navigate through all the noise and gross dudes on dating apps. First six, he's got to be 6 feet tall. Second six, he must make at least six figures. Third six, he must have six-pack abs. What's funny is like when you really get down to brass tacks of how easy it would be to find a man like that, forget the fact that he would also have to be attracted to you. Let's put that aside. What percentage of men in America do you think fit the bill of being 6 foot tall, making six figures, and having six packs?
To have all three.
Yes.
To hit the trifecta. It's got to be under 10%.
I bet. No, it's way under 10. Five?
But it would be under 10.
Well, no, it would be less than five, because 5% would be about 7 to 8 million men. It could be 1%.
I also think we may be warped here. I think that there are... It's funny, like, if you go to, like, a bigger city or other places, mm-hmm. and I forget that people are taller in general.
Okay,
those
I understand.
Other places.
Look, there are guys that are 6 feet.
We're squatty town.
There are.
I think we are shorter in general here.
Well, we have a lot of ethnicities that don't get over the 5'7".
Right, that we're squatty.
So, like, somebody over 6 feet tall is going to stand out a lot more.
Sure. But look,
we don't have a lot of tallness.
As the tall delegate in this room, mm-hmm. right, and
well,
I go to my I go to my tall man meetings every day, but she's not allowed in the tall man meetings.
With those hands?
Look, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to New York City, there's plenty of dudes that are over 6 feet that make six figures. The hardest part of this is
not
the abs.
Not the Diamond District.
The hardest part is the abs.
The hardest part is the abs.
Yeah, that's fair.
Nobody.
I'm surprised the abs are a requirement, though.
And by the way, to maintain that physique through your life. So, let's say you're a ripped kid. Mm-hmm. By the time you're 45, you may not have that same body.
No,
you may
you're
be
right.
in good shape, but you may not look like somebody that's going to be on the cover of a magazine.
And that's what's so funny, right? Like, time eliminates men being able to do this, because by the time you make six figures, you're right.
Oh,
you're
going
to be out of a point where your body can maintain six-pack abs if you were able to get them at all.
Right. If you're making six figures, you probably don't have time to be hitting the gym for 2 hours.
Well, no, then there's an argument.
Like, running.
People make the argument that folks that do make six figures are the ones that are motivated to go to the gym. Yeah. Your body is a temple.
Okay. I doubt it.
I don't have that issue.
Yeah.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time. I want abs.
But it doesn't do anything for you.
No, I just want to know I can do it.
But you can't. You're going to waste your whole life doing crunches?
No, it's over. I know.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.